Thank you, brothers. I've seen too many victories to let defeat have the last word. Good message. I want to return to a text that we have visited before a few years back, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11, New International Version. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And word of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. The notion of Christians boasting has been frowned upon in the church. In fact, Christians have been encouraged not to be boastful. To be boastful, to some is to be prideful. And of course, God doesn't like pride. Listen to these biblical passages. In Proverbs 16 and 18, the Bible says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. In Galatians 6 and 3, the Bible says, where if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In James 4 and 6, the Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 27 and 2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. In Philippians 2 and 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. In 1 John 2 and 6, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Some feel that any level of boasting should be resisted, even to the point of denying the blessings that God has poured into us. And I get it. Sometimes we do get off track. It can be about us. It can be about our achievements. It can be about whether we win. It can be about whether we have the biggest crowd. It can be about being more successful than our peers and one-upping each other. We want them to be able to say ours was the best. It can be about ourselves. So sometimes with pride, we get off track. And boasting, we get off track. But Paul helps us with the issue of boasting. In this fifth chapter, he talks about rejoicing. He uses the word rejoicing or boasting or glorying. He uses those words interchangeably. And what he's talking about in this chapter is what Christians ought to boast about, what they ought to rejoice about, what they ought to glory in. And Paul is really speaking about taking pride in our connection with God. Perhaps that's the key. Appropriate boasting highlights our connection to God. Appropriate boasting draws attention to God and not to ourselves. Maybe that's when we know we've gone to the other side. If it's drawing the attention to ourselves, then it's not about God, it's about us. But Paul emphasizes boasting or rejoicing that highlights our connection to God. And he mentions this boasting in three of these verses in this text that I read for you. He begins by saying, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's a lot. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. That Christians ought to boast in hope and hope in sharing in the glory of God. So we ought to boast about the hope we possess. That's strange. Boast about hope? Isn't hope about wishing and expecting? We hope to get something. We look forward to something. But for Paul, hope is more than just merely wishing. Hope is tied to some level of promise or some level of evidence. Hope is tied to strong possibility that something will come, that something will happen. And for Paul, the evidence is there. Paul says, the evidence of our hope in the glory of God is that we've been justified by faith. We have received access to God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has already redeemed our life. We have evidence that we will experience the glory of God because of what God has already done in the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. So we have hope. And he says, we can boast in that, about that hope. I like that notion of boasting about hope because it means it's not yet realized, but we have sufficient evidence to know that it's going to happen. A friend of mine applied for an executive level job, and she was contacted by an executive search firm. He put her through an extensive process. And she was a little excited. And a few weeks later, the search firm informed her that she was one of three finalists. And they scheduled a phone interview and began preliminary conversations about expectations and the components of the package being offered. When she knew she was a finalist, she became excited. And it wasn't until that point in the process when she knew that it was possible that she might be one of the three who is selected that she allowed herself to imagine working for the institution. She allowed herself to imagine relocating to a new place. She had hope because it was hope rooted in the real possibility that she might achieve what she had always wanted to achieve. And that's what Paul says. We should, if we boast about anything, we ought to boast about the hope that we have of one day sharing in the glory of God. But he talks about boasting in another verse. He says, not only so, but we also glory or rejoice or boast in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Boasting or glorying or rejoicing about suffering? Shouldn't boasting be attached to good stuff? Are y'all here? So when I ask a question like that, then y'all say yes or no answer. Shouldn't boasting be attached to good stuff, good feelings, good connections, good achievements, good experiences? What is there to boast about in suffering? For Paul, suffering or adversity produces stuff that makes us better and stuff that makes us stronger. And Paul calls this stuff perseverance, character, and hope. Paul is saying that the difficulties of the journey work for us. They help us to get stronger. They teach us what we can take, and they teach us what we can handle. And they force us, sometimes adversity forces us to find a path or a landing place upon which we can hold ourselves together. Because when you get in the midst of a struggle, when you get into a difficult situation, you're either going to allow the situation to destroy you, and you're either going to sink, or you're going to make up your mind that you're going to pull yourself out of it. And suffering helps you to find that path to pull yourself together and pull yourself out of it. But that's looking back. He says suffering produces perseverance, character, and hope. That's Paul looking back at adversity after we've gotten to the other side. But Paul is not just saying to rejoice about suffering when you get over it, when you get to the other side. Paul says rejoice in suffering when suffering shows up. In other words, be glad that suffering knocks at your door. Approach suffering like a teacher who comes with a life lesson you need to learn. It can't always be, why is this happening to me? You've got to say to yourself sometimes, God is trying to perfect me. So when I'm going through a storm and the storm, when the storm shows up, instead of saying, oh, I'm upset because a storm has shown up, you ought to say, what is God bringing this storm to do in my heart, to do in my mind, and to do in my life? How is he using the storm to perfect me? So Paul says we boast about our suffering. We boast about it because we know what God is trying to do for us. Paul knows the value of suffering. He had received great revelations from God, and he knew that God didn't want him to become conceited. And so Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm almost done. I just got one more point, but let me share something that's not on my paper. Both of my parents are deceased. My maternal grandparents are deceased. My paternal grandparents are deceased. All of them are deceased. And the most difficult death that I've had to go through to this point in my life was the death of my mother. I witnessed my grandmother on both sides die, my grandfather die, father die, but the most difficult death was the death of my mother. Because it wasn't until, and I had preached hundreds of eulogies for folks' mothers, but it wasn't until my mother died that I realized the toll that grief takes on your physical body. Because I couldn't sleep and I couldn't eat. And because I couldn't sleep and I couldn't eat, I became weak. And so even leading up to the funeral and getting prepared to try to preach her eulogy, my body was weak and my mind was a little out of sorts. Not just because I was grieving, but because I had not slept and I had not eaten. And so all that together made the grief difficult for me. I didn't understand it until I went through it myself. And it changed my way of preaching eulogies. It changed my approach to eulogies because I know what folk might be going through. It might not just be something emotional. It might be something physical trying to get through that thing. But I'm able to look back on it now and see how God got me through it and see how God gave me the strength even the week after my mother died to preach somebody else's eulogy the following week and still stand there and do it because God gave me the possibility of letting my suffering work for my benefit. That's what Paul means when he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And when the burden is crushing me down, that's when I learn what I'm made out of. That's when I learn that God gives me the grace and the strength to get through it. So Paul talks about boasting in hope. Hope of sharing in the glory of God. Boasting in suffering. Using suffering as a way to be for transformation. And third, then Paul talks about in this last verse, boasting in God. He says, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What is Paul saying? He's saying, through Christ, we have been reconciled to God. God is in us, and we are in God. And God has brought us back to full fellowship. So Paul says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? He said, if there's anything we can boast about, we can boast about our relationship with God. That we don't have to hide the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We don't have to qualify anything. Someone says, are you a Christian? You can say, yes, I am a Christian. And they can, if they try to question your Christianity, you say, I don't have to make it my argument before you. I have to qualify anything. I believe in God. I believe God exists. I believe in God's power. And that's all that I need to say. And because we believe in God, we don't have to be afraid to have hope. We don't have to be afraid to have trust. We can shout it from the rafters. Somebody might say, with all going on in the world, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? You can say, I don't mind being joyful because I have God in my life. I have a relationship with God. Our forebear said it this way, Lord, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. Or they sang one thing, I know I've been born again. Or they said, if you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. Being the presence of Christ in the world, beloved, is really about boasting about our connection with God. You don't have to show up at an evangelism workshop to go out of these walls and be the presence of Christ in the world. Just talk about Jesus. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to the beauty shop, when you're in the barbershop, talk about your relationship with God. Boast about your relationship with God. Peter Mutabazi, Peter Mutabazi, an African immigrant, had a difficult life. He grew up in a small village on the border of Uganda and Rwanda. His family was so poor they couldn't afford food. They grew their own beans, peas, and sweet potatoes. Poverty was all he knew. That wasn't all he knew. He also knew child abuse at the hands of his father, who verbally and physically abused him, his siblings, and his mother. And when Peter was 10 years old, his father sent him to get some cigarettes. On his way back, it started raining, and the cigarettes got destroyed. And Peter knew if he got home without the cigarettes, a beating awaited him. He decided to run away from home. Eventually pulled himself together and came to the United States. And he built a better future for himself. He persevered here in the United States, became a real estate agent in Oklahoma, bought a house and had two extra bedrooms. And then he thought about all that he had gone through and said, let me share my life with somebody else. So he signed up to become a foster parent and started foster parenting children ranging in ages from 2 to 11 years old. He had 12 children as a foster parent in his home in the last 12 years. And then one day, the social worker called on the phone and said, I got another kid for you, an 11-year-old boy named Anthony. Can you take him for just the weekend? And Peter said, well, yeah, okay, I'll take him for the weekend. But when Anthony showed up at his house, Peter said, you can call me Mr. Peter. But Anthony said, no, I'm going to call you Daddy, and called him Daddy. Fast forward to the boy came on Friday, but on Monday morning, the social worker arrived, and Peter decided to ask why Anthony was in foster care. And the social worker said this boy had been abandoned by his biological mother when he was 2 years old. And then he was adopted by a foster family. But when he was 11 years old, his foster family dropped him off at the hospital and abandoned him. And that's why you've got him for the weekend. And after that weekend, Peter said, I can't let this boy go. His mother dropped him off when he was 2 years old. His foster parents abandoned him when he was 11 years old. I can't let him go. And just this past November, he adopted this young boy and became this boy's father. But I told that story to tell you this. Peter said when he was interviewed that every day when he would go to pick up Anthony at school, that Anthony would say, hey, that's my daddy. Hey, that's my father, yelling to all the kids every day, so proud he had a daddy. That's what Paul is saying. We ought to boast about God in our own lives. He's my daddy. He's my father. He's my God. We ought to boast about him. We have to learn how to boast, beloved. We cannot boast about stuff we cannot control. We cannot control the economy. We cannot control the elections. We cannot control the government. We cannot control the coronavirus. We cannot control the attitudes of other people. We cannot control the behavior of others. We cannot control the weather. We cannot predict what will happen tomorrow. But we can boast about what we do know. We can boast about the evidence we already have. We can boast about our relationship with God. Tell somebody this week. Go out there and say, I know somebody who defeated death. I know somebody who's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I know somebody who's got all power in his hands. I know somebody. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. I know somebody. I'm trying to get through. Let me just say this and then I'm really done. I wonder sometimes what the weather was like on Calvary when Jesus hung on that rugged cross. I wonder what the weather was like. The Bible doesn't tell us about the weather on Calvary. Was it windy? Was it raining? We know the sun went on a hiatus. We know the moon cried tears of blood. We know that the sky wrapped itself in a blanket of darkness. But what was the weather like on Calvary? And every time I ask myself about the weather on the day that Jesus died, then I hear the same answer coming down the corridors of my soul. And that answer is, it doesn't really matter what the weather was like on Calvary. It doesn't matter whether the sun was shining or the rain was falling or the wind was blowing. It doesn't matter because Calvary did not win. Calvary couldn't break Jesus. The wind couldn't bring him down. The nails couldn't bring him down. No storm could blow him off the cross. No darkness could make him come down from the cross. Jesus stayed on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. And when he decided to die, he got up the third day morning with all power in his hands. He got up in victory. He rose in victory. So boast about that. That's why we sing that song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." We want to invite you to come to find a reason to boast. You've been boasting about your credentials too long. Was it your credentials that made you who you are? You ain't that smart. You've been boasting about your money and your holdings too long. It's not your money and your holdings that made you who you are. You ain't got that much money. You've been boasting about your pedigree, what family you came from, your lineage and all that too long. You didn't have no business about pedigree. You just happened to come to the right folk. That didn't have anything to do with you. But you would have none of that if God didn't put breath in your body. If God didn't breathe into your nostrils the breath of life. If God didn't give you physical strength. If God didn't give you a mind to work. Without God, you can boast about anything. Paul says we boast about the hope of the glory of God. We boast in our suffering. We boast in God. If you want to boast today, we invite you to boast in God. We invite you to give your life through Jesus Christ, to come to him by faith. The invitation is extended on deacons, ushers, ministers. And as we come, you can come and find a reason for hope and a reason for boasting. We offer Christ to you. Will you stand with me? For you today. One more time. We offer Christ. Won't you come? Amen. God bless you, beloved.